And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a feared here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Stancock here in Hanover, New Hampshire. We leave this afternoon after the Trump report this afternoon with Dr. Frank Tamberi. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. You know what he does? He uses his iPhone as a dictation machine, and he... goes, and it's just like text is supposed to be short, man. Skip to the end. It is one of those scroll. But he got a lot to say. He's gonna say it today. I guarantee it. You know, I get a lot of emails and texts from him on stuff. I mean, that's a lot of it's defending. You know, there are people are going, Trump's gonna lose. He's gonna lose all the polls, and he's gonna lose because of the polls and kind of whatever, and being a butthead, and he's gonna lose. And he goes, nuh-uh. And I, you know, you could get all nutted up about it and worried and kind. I don't care, you know, because I don't care that what's going to happen is going to happen. It's going to be an economic thing, and my concern is that after the election, we think statism, collectivism is going to go away. It's done. You know, we're going, okay. The Constitution prevails and blah 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 blah. I don't think so. They're not going away. This has to be, it's going to be a long slog coming back. But, you know, there's, what it does show is that people are getting informed. They know it all sucks. You know, Trump, good guy, bad guy. I don't know. History will tell. I'm waiting for Trump the movie, you know. and made by whom? I mean, you know, it's got to be a compilation of YouTubes or something or videos. Yeah, you say YouTube, and last night we talked about a lot of this, and it was a gentleman, Kieran. He has a Kieran. Yeah, okay, thanks, Kieran. He has a podcast out of Australia. Very interesting. Okay, this is what happened. What Kieran Nolan? He's an educator. He has a primary school, you know, like, I don't know, fifth graders, South Park. But with the lockdowns in Australia, you know, they just started coming back like yesterday or this week, you know. And what he had done is he's from Melbourne, you know, as an educational technologist, whatever that means. And he's a blockchain expert and all this, business development executive. He's driven by innovation, disruption, lifelong learning. What he did is Worana, Worana Park at Primary School. They created a hacker space and internet and, you know, digital IT super kids learn whatever, vocational kind of thing. But what they did is they got a budget and they bought some storage containers and they created these different little rooms, and he was doing the podcast from there because for their time was, I don't know, where it was, midday or something. And he wanted to talk to James Corbett and I about IPFS. He had saw that, you know, James didn't know him. He just said, this guy contacted me, and I thought, you know, we should, you know, do it together. So last night, if you go on Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see the podcast there. We put the MP3 up, and the videos are processing. See, this is the thing. I don't give a crap how great and wonderful it is. If I got 20 hours a week of video to put up, where do you put it? How many years I got to sit in front of a computer to make? I mean, oh, my God. Now, Corbett was saying that, oh, yeah, I just this and I just that. Of course, he's in Japan where they got some real internet. I mean, it's warp speed of a gig of, you know, blah, and so in Australia. You know, so it's just like, I'm like, wow. You know, I thought we were America. You know, why are we so America? Why, what? There's something else going on there. So we'll talk about that someday. Now, what they did is they took the children and they started doing IPFS. Because what they had done years past, they would do projects and so on. They go, yeah, we'll just load it up on YouTube. They loaded up on YouTube, and this, you know, one 12-year-old kid's got the greatest, most wonderful, whatever. It's on YouTube. They didn't back it up. They don't know where it is. They kind of, and delete it. You know, they're gone. Or they just kind of drop away. Or they, you know, because, for whatever reason, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. We thought, well, they learned their lesson. So what they did is they got their own Raspberry Pis and created their own IPFS network there to forever, you know, pin on different ones, and then it's available and everybody forever and always on IPFS. And I'm like, right on. You know, these guys, so I'm going, will you accept a call from Mr. Derek Slopey? Why, yes, they will. You know, they're going, oh, bring it on. You know, they got a bunch of stuff going on already. So I'm going, right on. You know, join the get on the GitHub with a few of the other guys and them, and we're developing, rocking and rolling and whatnot. Now, you know, James Corbett, you know, he's known this was censorship and everything was coming. He MP4s on his own site and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, uses all different, a bunch of different platforms to put his stuff on. And he's really liking Libraries Odyssey. You know, so we'll be checking that out. We have an account, you know, but we haven't really, you know, it, because our problem is loading. Well, the stream now, we're working with Float, float.app, and with Kingsley Edwards and Aaron, and we're going, okay, we'll work with you. You know, if you, the stream you take and put it and post it as the, I mean, we're ones and zero in you. You might as well take it and, you know, post it. Why do I got to do it again? So they're doing that, and we see it up there, and it's processing. Some of them go through, some of them don't. It takes a while. It got, you know, and we're like, you know, what is what? I know this problem is going to get fixed. It's a content provider thing. It's a content provider thing. So I'm going, yeah, it doesn't matter how many great, well, you got to be user interface and people easy and click on it. Yeah, that's all very interesting, unless there's nothing there to click on. You know, so they say Odyssey's working really well, so we'll go check that out, and we'll try that again and see how fast it can go. The difference with, you know, Library and Odyssey and so on, you have to download an app, and you know, we'll see. That's a lot of the stuff that we're going to be testing now that we're finally freaking done with the bus. You know, there's still some more tweaks and energy direction of charging of the old kind of whatever. But the one thing coming down from Bangor, one of the rear brakes was not adjusted right. So it was not stopping. I'm going, there's something wrong. Well, of course, Jay found out what it was. And a retaining bolt that went on didn't pop up the way, and it kind of loosened and the brake tightened and kind of fixed. Yeah, we're done. So I'm like, good. So you got to stop by Jay's before you head out west. This is the way it is. So we're, as soon as the show is done today, we do the Trump report, maybe a little after show, because, you know, Frank will go on, I'm sure. And then when we get done with that, it's just pull out, hook up the Jeep, boom, shakalaka, we're on our way. We're going to be setting up, hopefully we'll make Vermont, Virgin's Vermont is kind of a stop. They had a special election, and the good guys won, according to them. And so now there's a lot of stuff because of the shows, and I could see it. When we did two shows, one live there, and we've done some before, but we did one there from the freaking central square of Brunnen, you know, Terran's RV when we were back there. And we sat there and did it right in front of City Hall, and, you know, had one of the aldermen, town councilmen, whatever they call them, on the bus. Police come up and they waves them off, and they're, oh, okay, well, sorry to bother. But so we do the show there, and now it's we did one online, and then we're going back. And the reason is because we got those shows downloaded a lot. And the reason was that people were getting educated because of the shows and articulating what's going on. They're like, oh. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about a show that we did last night. I encourage you to listen to it. It was fun, but I'll skip to the end. And Luke came in.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No stinking droids are necessary with my flying pirate ship. Okay, last night, Luke Radowski joined us. He's up here, and he's got a nice fifth wheel and working on his truck and everything and so on. He's getting all man camped up. But to get him to get greasy or put a wrench in his hand is, like, still a thing. I'm like, no, you get under there. No, I don't want to pay. How much Bitcoin does it take? No, you get under there. Anyway, so that's entertainment. What has been going on is the IPFS thing has been starting to take hold. I knew it would. I mean, you know, you guys are sick of hearing it. And Luke is one of the guys. We're at an Arcopoco in 19. He goes, all right, everybody, get ready with your whiskey shots. Here comes Ernie every time he says IPFS. Damn Skippy. And it's not whether it's IPFS. I don't give a crap. It's just the traits of it, you know, the characteristics of it, to be able to do what it does. So we've talked to a lot of guys, and as, you know, more and more, I go, oh, you need to talk to Derek. So I'll have Derek communicate with him, or we'll do a podcast with different guys from Switzerland, Australia, and around the country and everything. And it's always what it's always been. It was back, you know, as James Corbett would say, he goes, back when the internet was fun. In the mid-90s, I mean, it was fun. You know, it was techie, and it was kind of cool, and you could get access to basic information from anybody. You know, clean, without all the crap. Now it's a minefield. It's just, ew. My grandma's on woo-woo. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. So when he contacted James about talking about IPFS, you know, James didn't feel that he could really, you know, say anything about it other than, you know, we got it, you know. But so we did it together. And Luke was here, and he came in and sat in. So all of a sudden, Luke's kind of getting, yeah, you know, I can see, you know, at least as a backup. And that's kind of how a lot of guys see it. It's a backup. It's, you know, storage that you can pin files that you always got available, and it's organized, and, you know, people can go look at it. One of the things he said, he had his site go down because he let the security certificate lapse. You have a subscription that goes, I don't know, quarterly or yearly or whatever you pay, you know, that somebody, you know, make you pay. And it's a security certificate. This kind of, yeah, this site is good, HTTPS, you know, it's secure, whatever. There's a thing, and I don't know, maybe we should understand that more. But if you don't have that security certificate, you know, paying to the man or somebody, your site gets a warning. Oh, this thing, you know, do you want to proceed with caution? Oh, my God, they didn't pay their, you know, troll toll or something. So he let that lapse one time, which has happened, you know, occasionally on Freedom's Phoenix. And I call Derek, and he pushes a button, and, you know, it's good. But, you know, Corbett, that happened just this last week or something. And all of a sudden, the guy, whoa, there it went. They took his site down. Oh, here we go, you know. So they went to the IPFS site. Well, the only complaint that he had is they go, yeah, but it won't let me do my member login. Because we duplicated the site. I mean, it looks just like it, but it's not. It's just links to the files. You know, all the videos and audios and text and all that kind of stuff. But the interactivity with, you know, like, you know, joining something or managing a web page where you go in and you got, like, special access or privilege or whatever, that's not there. It looks the same, and it's there. And you go, hey, man, it didn't work. And I go, okay, you know, it's not supposed to work that way. But, you know, he noticed that, you know, people were using it. It was a backup. They go, oh, it's still there. You know, so they understand a lot of things. You know, they're getting more and more inclined to, you know, copy, bookmark the hash. It's not like you just go type in corporatereport.com. But there was, you know, Kieran was going on. There's a thing called Handshake that equates to as part of the protocol of Namecoin. Now, what they didn't know, and I told, I said, Derek is one of the primary guys behind Namecoin. You know, he was really working, you know, to where you bypass this DNS thing of ICANN, you know, which is the international, we rule you guys out of Europe, that took over from when the $135,000 a year guy in California or something died in the mid-90s. They go, yep, and, you know, mysterious heart attack at 30, 40 something. All of a sudden, boom, it goes to Geneva or whatever. And we're in charge of all the DNA, all the numbers that go to a website and stuff. And I'm not feeling any better. So that right there is a collectivization point. They want to shut you off. It's not going to flip a button on your Twitter account. It's just, freedomsphoenix.com don't work anymore. You know, that's what's going on. So understanding this, you know, Derek, years ago, and a lot of the guys, they were developing Namecoin, which is you have a permanent record on a blockchain or something. I mean, you know, have him explain it. But he goes, this guy, this educator in Australia says, yeah, it's called Handshake. And it's kind of doing the same thing with some of the same code or something. So I'm going, well, definitely Derek already wants to talk to you. I guarantee it. Then Namebase was another one. He's sending me, you know, send Kieran an email saying, hey, where's my email and all my goodies? I want my goodies and the different sites and all that. And reminder, will you please, Donna? He's going to do that today. I just want to remind him, you know, this guy, hey, man, I wasn't kidding. I need all this stuff. So we'll work on that together. And what he's doing is with his children that are going through, they're not learning World Wide Web. They're learning IPFS. You know, you got this generation be 5, 10, 15 years from now, that this is how they grew into the internet and communication. The same as we did in the 90s. We said, oh, you got ones and zeros and these files and share and kind of, you know, the way we thought the internet was going to be is this. Well, it got diverted into a worldwide we rule you web thing. This is, you know, internet service providers. I remember they first started. And the first ones that we had in Phoenix was in the back of a gun shop. I think it was called On Ramp. You go to this gun store and you go in the back, there's a crap load of servers and modems back there. And you log in. You paid $10 or $30 a month or whatever. And then I had another one called Indirect. And then all of a sudden, all these little ones got consolidated and bought up by, I don't like the phone company or something. It was, and for them to expand, they had to get lines, more phone lines put in. We're kind of slow this day. We don't feel like doing it. And you could see what was happening. There was a lot of demand for it, but they were throttling it. They didn't have control of it yet. They, whoa, we can't let this get out of hand. So you wonder why America has really low speeds compared to the rest of the world. I mean, we're talking, good, you know, gigabytes a second. I mean, it's just, I wow. All right. This will come to pass, and we'll get over this, and we'll get to the next whatever it is. Well, in some countries they have it, like James Corbett when he's in Western Japan, man, they got blazing internet speeds, and he's like, woo, I can get some stuff done, and we get a lot of stuff done, but I'm sitting waiting for pages to load all the time. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, even, you know, 5 seconds is, you know, five times longer than a second. It just adds up when you're doing a lot of the stuff that we do. Now, some of it's on the back end and Freedom's Phoenix, you know, for our work, and we're still working on that. You know, Derek's only one guy, but we're trying to hire other people. You know, he's working with other people. We're doing a lot of stuff and put, you know, it's just, it takes time. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. You know, Kieran Nolan in Australia really highlighted a lot of things, you know, that of interest. There's a lot of hope out there in the future. And what does the election have to do with it? Nothing if it's peer-to-peer and the people and it's just ones and zeros. You start thinking like that, all of a sudden they get in the rearview mirror.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Yeah, another great example. Oliver Janitz Offenlich. He's an author, best-selling author in Germany, and kind of freedom guy, and he caught our IPFS stuff, and he's like, he says he's only reachable on Telegram. All right, well, I'll deal with him later. But his YouTube channel got taken down. And it's just, he's like, man, what the, you just did? You know, he's like, hey, what's the solution of solutions? And I'm going, okay, yeah, we'll get your butt on, man. Let's go get some. You know, let's do it. So this is international. This is not, you know, just America. You know, Japan, Australia, America, Canada, Mexico, all over Europe. You know, we have, you know, the LRN satellite broadcast, you know, North America, North Africa, and Middle East and stuff, too. And they're talking about, yeah, should we keep doing the satellite or go online? I like the satellite. I think I might do a monthly join-up thing. You hear the spots in the breaks, you know. Yeah, go to LRN.FM, you know, throw a couple bucks to the satellite thing. When I do rural events, like I'm in the Four Corners area in northern Arizona, so there's no radio stations up there. They, you know, hell, they don't even have, you know, access to the internet. So they listen to satellite. You know, you get a dish, it's like a $200 setup, and boom, you know, you got all the satellite channels and so on. I remember in the 90s, you didn't get a lot of stuff unless you had shortwave. You know, I don't think shortwave is the same as ham radio, but anyway, they had shortwave stations. This is where a lot of the Patriot guys and everything would, you know, tell you what's up. And we'd talk about that a lot. You know, they'd come and speak at different events and everything, what was going on. They can't win. I mean, they'll get individuals and they'll shut down and do all that does is just add fuel. It can't win. You know, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. And then there was a meme I put up on the Telegram that was had here. Let me see if I can find it here. I want to, you know, accurately describe it. It has, you know, like crossing the Delaware or Washington, you know, the men. And that was done on, you know, early Christmas morning. Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, they crossed the Delaware and took out the British. You know, they were like, it's Christmas, and you're dead. You know, and I'm going, you know, Americans fighting wars on Christmas Day? What? That's not fair. Anyway, so that's what happened. So hard times create strong men. Then strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. You know, it's a cycle. That's why they call it revolution. So this is what's, we're going through now. So after the hard times, after the flames, the fires, the riots, what happens? All of a sudden, you know, you go through the liberty thing again. You know, and does it get, you know, does it more concentrated? Is it, you know, more enduring? You know, I don't know. It always has been. You know, it gets better. You know, America has lasted a long time. You know, oh, Shallon and baby Cyprus. Hi, Cyprus. Now, come over here. We'll turn on the camera. Let me see if I can. I got the camera, the stream thing. Oh, the stream thing's not on. All right, whatever. Come here, baby. Hey, give me nose. Nose. Yeah, Cyprus is so beautiful. Such a great kid. You can see the future. You know, Jay's always has her on a front pouch facing out, going around feeding pigs and doing stuff. And yesterday on that dump trailer he has, it's like a dump truck on a trailer. There's a button that you push to make it go. So, you know, I think it was Colin was pushing it, and Jay was pushing it, and I was pushing it. And she's like, well, I can do that, you know? So she pushes it. She can't really, you know, make it go, but we kind of pressed on her finger, and she'd see that whole big thing go up from your little finger. Wasn't that awesome?
Wow, you made the dump truck work.
Yeah, she's having a good time. So that's going to be, you know, growing up here would be great. Oh, you're taking off?
Yeah, we're going to listen to bed.
Okay, well, we're going to go get the in your closet. Okay, that's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing we got to do. All right, see you later, Jay. Thanks, brother. You know, I feel a lot better. You checked on everything.
You're on your way.
Yeah, we're on our way. Now they're heading out. Bye, guys. So the sorry about that. The cycle that you have here is what, you know, Jay and I have been talking about a lot. It's kind of what Silver Dave and even Luke Radowski's starting to get up with because he's experienced it. You go through the hard times and you just kind of, you know, you're afraid, you're fearful, you know. And Luke, man, he was oh man, COVID. He was all locked down. I'm like, what the hell? He goes up to Pork Fest. You know, after a while, oh, don't touch me. Whatever. You know, after a while, the masks go away, and whatever. You know, but it took time. You know, just being around a bunch of people that, you know, really, and doing man camp. You know, and the logo that we did for him has a woman on the front wearing, you know, a work apron. You know, and I go, well, what about the women? He goes, you know, women is just a man with a womb. I mean, you know, just man, woman. I mean, you the womb man. Like with Donna, I always like, you the woo man. You know, so this sexist thing doesn't apply when you're productive. You're an ad. So we're going to talk to this guy from Germany and see what's up there. And I'd like to get Europe involved. I know they are. These IPFS things is all over the place. But by birds of a feather flock together, it's just like if you start it, it's like quantum reality thing I keep talking. You take one step and it just starts happening. So, you know, everybody and their grandma would love to have like an endorsement from James Corbett, you know, on freaking anything, toothpaste. I mean, you know, but IPFS because – and he sees it as not necessarily an outreach tool. It's not like, you know, 15 gazillion people. And that's how Luke looks at it. A lot of these guys look at it that way. I go, man, you guys don't get it. You know, it develops to the point to where that is the internet. That's how we thought it was going to develop from the mid-90s. And it got hijacked in the collectivization to where you had ISPs, internet service providers. You can get on, but through me. Do you have to? Is there another way? There is now, you know, and tours and all, yeah, a lot of these sites. But, you know, kind of a tour thing, I think, is what BitChute uses. But all these collectivized sites, you know, they go, and it's just a money thing. You're getting a little bit too much, kind of copy, and we bought you. Well, that's what, you know, Float, you know, I know he's a young guy. He's an entrepreneur. He bought and, you know, he created and sold and did a lot. I'm going, whoa. You do this Float thing, and we go, and it gets all pimped out, and it's working and everything. Then you go sell out, and then we got all this work and investment in this, and now it's in charge of Alphabet, you know, by Alphabet. And I'm going, well, it's going to suck. I vote not that, you know. So, you know, keep I keep you in mind, Ernie. I'll throw you, a bone or something, I mean, you know, whatever. But, you know, you just got to say it because you know the answer is always yes. It's just how much. You want to sell and save the planet and so on. You know, I'm sure I have my price or whatever. I don't know what it is because I don't care. But the we're focusing on that. And that was one of the big things. You know, even, you know, James, but, you know, more Luke Radowski, We Are Change, was in on the podcast last night, too. We sat together on the couch. And he was, you still got it, you know, exposing to the people in the, out there. And they, I go, yeah, right up until it matters the most. And boom, you're not allowed to show the Hunter email, you know, New York Post article or something. And it's right before a presidential election. This is amazing. And it's a cultural thing, and it's control of it. And this is what Dr. Frank and I go on about a lot. And it has been, you can see it in Marvel Comics. He's a big comic guy. He's a big movie guy. And he could see that it was being hijacked. From where? China bought Hollywood. Or bribed them, you know? What's the difference? So this is, and it's starting to come out. How true is this stuff? You don't know. I mean, you know, three weeks, but it'll be after the election. Hunter Biden on video, the Chinese got him the rights because, having sexual relations with 10-year-olds or something. Does it shock you? You know, I think that stuff's a minimum job requirement. All right, go into the blackmail bed, and we'll send you a little whatever, and record it, and then we'll work with you. Okay. A lot of these guys are like, all right, is that all I got to do? All right. You know, bring it on. Bring out the children. How much for the little girl? You know, I'm telling you, being a pedophile is like a minimum job requirement.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Freedom. Uncovering the secrets. Exposing the lies. You know, this is, we're getting ready to go, and it's going to be the real, it's going to take a while, because I've been getting greasy, man. We've been getting ready to do this, and I need to spend a lot of time in, on the internet, you know, learning stuff. Each one of the components of the bus I need to know more about without, you know, Jay and Derek helping, whatever. And Jay's a good trainer. He brings you in, makes you, you know, put your hands on the bolt and the adjustment screw or the whatever. And Derek's great at getting the electronics done and so on, but, you know, taking the time for me to understand it and walk it through, he's like, man, you know, there's hours and hours of stuff to do here, and I don't have the patience or the time to train you, you know. So I kind of pick it up by osmosis and use. Now I got to do some studying. One of the big things that I need to do is I've done video editing quite a bit and everything, so that's, I just got to get used to the new programs. I have it up and a bunch of the files I've been doing, the drone footage and everything. I just throwing it in there, and we'll start working on that. One big thing I want to learn is CAD. I need to be able to design a bunch of stuff that I want to do, and Photoshop. You know, I got to have, you know, somebody do it for me all the time. And all it's something simple. I know I can move and kind of doing the layers of it. And I go, yeah, I just, you know, that's what, like, people were for. So, you know, we have Davion Retainer do some stuff, but I need him, you know, to do a lot of things. We'll get caught up on that. And the only main art I got to do for the bus is, you know, how we choose the logo of the Jeep. Well, we certainly are going to put Love Bus on the spare tire cover on the back. So we'll order that, and we'll get. But a lot of this stuff is going to wait until we get to the Pacific Northwest. But I was hoping to spend a lot more time there. We were trying to make it Thanksgiving back to family in Phoenix. But, you know, we need to spend some time. You know, Washington State needs some love. We got to love them a little bit. And Derek's ready to do a bunch of custom signs, and we'll, you know, zoom it from there and, you know, go over artwork, and boom, he pushes a button and the laser be a going. One of the things that we did in his workshop, there's another room, has a big warehouse, and there's one room need to be cleaned out, and we put it on the conveyor and put it upstairs, get all the crap out of the way for him to reposition the laser, and it be just a laser room along with some other stuff. So he's got to get it out of the workshop to where, you know, he doesn't have to keep a blanket on all the time from the dust and stuff. So it's and one of these pictures that you see up there, there's a generator with solar power panels on it. It's when you go to these construction sites and you see a generator going with these four big, make it freaking daylight lights, you know, that are just blaring down on some work area they're working at night. Well, they retire those. I think there was some law in Maine that, you know, the diesel didn't have that. You got to buy a new kind of better environmental green something. There was some crap like that. So they had a bunch of these that were for auction. Well, he went and bought at least two, three, four, I mean, a bunch of them. And he goes, well, I take the generator in that one and put it in his bus. That'd be really cool. I'll take this one and do that and light over here. I'll take the lights off of this and put them up on side of the building so I can see when we're working outside in the winter and at night. And then we go, and I'll take this one and turn it into a power station. So he put batteries in it, has a diesel generator, solar panels on it, and all the wiring and the inverters and everything. And so on, he's got a mini power station that he can just take wherever he wants. He's got, you know, I got, you know, welcome to my neighborhood with power. I mean, seriously, this is the kind of stuff that we should be doing. And one of the things is Brian, one of the guys up here, had a fifth wheel. He had a really nice generator. It was quiet, and it ran on gasoline or propane. Well, you know, Luke was impressed. He goes, I want that one. Boom, and he gets it, and he put it in the back of his truck. So, you know, power is not a thing. This morning, because when they closed the garage door, it unhooked one of the connections on AC power to the bus. So the batteries went down, and they give you a warning, whoop, 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 you know. And so we just turned on the generator, you know, and then we went out, you know, and get our clothes on, and we find out, you know, that it got unplugged and it powered down, you know, overnight. The biggest reason is because it has the water heater is electric on this thing. I might need to be changing that. But that, man, ooh, it heats up a real fit. 10 minutes, man, you're taking a 6-gallon shower of rock and roll, but, man, it's a power suck. You know, so that, and this old refrigerator. You know, do we get a propane one or a 12-volt? You know, probably. But at the very least, if we just got a new electric one, that'd be more efficient. That would take a lot of the power drain out, too. So these are the things that, you know, little stuff. But the main thing was the bus transportation, A to B, powertrain, suspension, tires, all that kind of stuff. When we came down from Bangor, the right rear brake was not engaged enough. There was a retaining bolt that got stuck that, you know, let it loosen up and whatever. So we had that adjusted when we got down here. And so hopefully I'm going to find out real quick that, you know, that I don't have to crank on it to stop it. Fortunately, we got trailer, you know, the brakes on the Jeep too. So, you know, it stopped safely, kind of. But I need, you know, I mean, I want some more. So we looked at it, and you could tell that one side of the wheels were hot because the brakes were getting overused on that side. So I'm going, oh, okay, I think I know what it is. So Jay and I, you know, did that. Well, mostly Jay. I watched, you know, but now I know where it is. And so he had showed me before, but it's always good to have a refresher. So that's what we're doing this week. We're going to leave this afternoon and go to Vergennes, Vermont. As soon as the show is over, I'm going to call the councilman there, Dave, because I didn't want to set anything until I knew. Well, now I know. We're done. We're ready. You know, it's all fully logoed. We got, you know, some more stuff and stickers and things that we can put on it. But the main artwork is done, and it's party. So when we show up and we deploy and we put out, you know, the speakers and we get the awning out and we set up the damn kind, you know, the lights and everything, and let's have us a meeting. And we go, you know, Sunday go to freedom meeting, you know, so we're going to be doing that. So now we're starting to, the love bus will be a-working. Now, I'm going to be, you know, sharing a lot of the needs that I have with the audience and everything. I mean, it's going to be, I don't know, whatever. I need a place to park or more sign material, or I probably don't need any more sign material. I got, you know, damn, that's like 600 pounds if I got sign material, seriously. So, you know, God, like, I still got like over 300 and something yards of the sign in blue, yellow, and white. Now, we will not be for lacking the stuff to do, I guarantee. So then we're going to stop by Michigan on the way out and check in with Rick, and you know it's a good place to stop. You know, what the heck? And then you know, we really got to get to Washington, and then coming back to Arizona. Now, when we're in Arizona, I mean, it's going to be holidays, but they need some love too, man. They it's like, seriously, and that's when we'll start to work on getting press, because I know these guys, and you'll start to see. You know, I know how it works there and the people, and so we'll play the game. And we're going to, you know, get a lot of activism and a lot of attention, and then you'll see the links go up. And now maybe that'll spark, you know, a little bit in the lamestream media, the media so last century. But it will be after the election. So we're hoping to make it to Pacific Northwest before the election, just so we can be friends there and, you know, and kind of, you know, I don't know, enjoy ourselves at whichever way. I really don't care. Because what's going to have to happen is going to happen anyway. You know, this is going to be, I'm so glad to hear that Trump said, well, I'm not going to mandate, you know, shots. That was what I was waiting on. I go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I want to know if he's going to mandate the shot. You know, and he said it. No. And I go, all right. I think you might have won. You know, we'll see. You just never know. I'm just telling you, this is, you know, you can't put your eggs in that basket. So that's why we plan for the future. In the next hour, we're just going to do top tech news. We have a bunch of stuff go up. I hit it, you know, the, you know, top tech button, and it goes over into that category. And I'm going, yeah, you know, let's just go over some of the stuff that's been happening, because there is so much stuff coming. I just let you know, you know, just give you some of the highlights of the tech that's coming. I'm going, this is going to be awesome, and it's going to be not expensive. With what money? What's going to retain its value? How's the dollar going to go? What's going to happen when it starts to go, and all those trillions of dollars are sitting there in the bank's pockets, and they're just waiting for it to go too, so they can buy everything. Yeah. And then we got, you know, administrative law. You know, that's a big thing we're talking about. You know, we want to know, you know, property rights. How's that done? Are you subject to it? You know, they're asking the Supreme Court nominee, you know, well, what about administrative? Whoa, what about it? You know, there's a lot of education that people got. And that's one thing the Australian guy was saying. He's going, man, it was a blessing. People learned a lot. We don't have to explain it to them anymore. Here we go. All right. I'm excited. Future's going to be, it has a chance now. because it's gotten so bad. You know, and is it really that bad? Well, they're trying to make it that way or make you think it is. So I think, I don't know, could it get worse? Yeah, it's going to be a food thing. But you guys will make it, right?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Less and less afeared. I'm, you know, yeah, we knew this. You know, think about it, man. You know, Donna and I and our family, we've been preparing for this since the late 80s. You know, we knew this is, you know, building up to, and now we can, in a position we can actually do something about it, and you get to help. I mean it. You get to. You know, this is awesome. I wish I had a way that I got to. I could help. And we've done on a lot of different things, but, you know, I wish I could help. I want to get that. You know, you see pictures up here, a lot of guys around the country coming up with different ways of doing signs and rocking and rolling and whatnot. They get to express themselves, and they learn how to do it on their own and whatever the heck they want to say. This is just inspiration. This is just for them to, you know, this is what can be done. You can bypass all this crap and get off your butt and not be fearful of retaliation of where you can be open, secret, dude, yeah, whatever, and ones and zeros, save forever, kind of man, all the, I can't do nothing about it. Well, they can, you know, like James Corbett would say, he goes, and I always get the guy, yeah, but when the, you know, the atmosphere is stripped of all the EMP sits in the satellite, God, well, then it won't be, you have other things to worry about, but. Yeah, you'll probably still have that too, you know. That was one thing we had in the top tech that we were pimping before, is they were using glass, some kind of a, you know, Gorilla Glass, hard glass that they were etching data into, and it was stored, and it would last a billion years or some crap like that. I mean, it was just, yeah, you know, all the data is in your, you know, of course, you got to be able to read it. You know, hopefully in the future they'll be going, I don't know. You know, they come back and go, it's Sanskrit, man. I have no idea. Yeah. You know, we'll be okay. You know, it's going to be, they're going to have to keep threatening us with existential threats or whatever, you know, they're got on the list. It's going to be, you know, global cooling, global warming, global annihilation. Got to go live on Mars and change our DNA so that we can, you know, whatever. Progress and you look back and you go, yeah, you know, will humanity survive? And I don't mean as, you know, human beings that kind of have a little bit of DNA left to say, you know, the human beings that used to kind of part of our DNA like Neanderthals or something, part of ours or something like that. I mean humanity as a concept, you know, as, you know, procreation to have, you bring up little adults that be, you know, adds to the planet and society, and do, I mean, we could be good stewards. You know, we're learning how, we're getting better. You know, the fossil fuel thing is a big deal too, and we talked to some of the top tech we'll get into here. Energy's going to be, you know, out of the hands of the few. And that's what's been going on. How big oil conquered the world and why. You know, James Corbett thing. You know, see, I keep going on about that with James. You know, I keep pumping him up because I'm going, yeah, when I get on television, I'm going to be going, James Corbett, you watch. There'll be something I go, CorbettReport.com. Well, Ernie, what do you think about the climate? CorbettReport.com. Why you keep saying that? Yeah, I don't know, piss you off. So it gets out and people go check it, you know, and they learn about it, whatever. So he's, you know, he thinks that's funny. But, you know, it's useful. You know, I need to, you know, and of course, like, you know, Freedom Phoenix. I go, you know, go to freedomphoenix.com, you know, but that's, man, you know, that's a lot of work. because Freedom's Phoenix is a lot of stuff every day. You'll see this. All right, let's go over some of the top tech. Now, just stuff to make you feel better. I mean, and maybe not, and it's just interesting. It's cool. The world's new fastest car, 331 miles an hour. Wow. American brand SSC dethrones Bugatti as its Tutara hypercar sets record top speed of 331 miles per hour. And it didn't take long to do it, neither. They went on a lone stretch of, Las Vegas highway, and they go, all right, you got closed. I got the helicopters out. Everybody, we're not going to, run into them like they're standing still when they're going 100. What happens when they're going, I'm going 100 miles an hour, and somebody hit me at 3? You see my point? It's like a 200 mile an hour hit you. I was like, damn. Remember a guy, he got paralyzed, and he was telling me about the story, and it was some, drunk guy that whatever. And he goes, why were you stopped in the road? He goes, I was going 70 miles an hour. He was going 140 or something and, trashed him, whatever. So, it 331 miles an hour. And it looks like it's gasoline. Then, of course, what's going to have to happen? We got to have an electric car go 332. That's just the way it is. So you got that to look forward to. NASA landed a probe on an ancient asteroid. Is there any other kind? And took a sample in first for the U.S. A piece of primordial rock that has witnessed our solar system's entire history may now be ready to come home for generations of scientific discovery, said a NASA scientist of the U.S.'s first attempt to return an asteroid sample to Earth. So it goes and kind of bounced off it. It went, boom, got a sample, and we're rocking and rolling. Woohoo! Better not. But what's the next step? They're going to put a lasso around it and haul it back. Or they're going to, latch onto it and mine the crap out of it. This is just the beginning. I think a Japanese probe did the same thing. They landed on it so it's not like the first time we've touched an asteroid, but they're going to send a piece back just to, I got a couple grains of sand, woo-hoo, from an asteroid. How much is that worth? I don't know. But it's interesting. Cyclotech brings a totally unique propulsion system to the eVTOL world, vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. And it uses instead of propeller blades, it uses, imagine a 55-gallon drum with kind of, it kind of looks like a squirrel cage fan for an evaporative cooler. It's just a fan that, they blow sideways. I'm not sure what the benefit of this is, but it kind of looks cool and it's new and whatever, and they say it's better. We'll find out. So there's that. Flying cars, man, flying cars. Record time measurement is time for light to cross a hydrogen molecule. Wow. What class was that in elementary school? There is a breakthrough in experiments studying ultra-fast processes. One of the most fundamental processes caused by the light-matter interaction, where a light photon causes the ejection of an electron and the formation of an anion, whatever that is. We can go do a whole freaking show on this thing. I'll save this. See, this is one thing that you can do on Freedom's Phoenix. I hit save the favorites, and it goes to my a list that I have. That's how the site works. I'm going, yeah, let's do that. I like that. So I can go ahead and save that, and then I can do a show on it later and so on. A lot of talk show hosts in Phoenix used to do this. We made this a thing, made a big deal about it to talk shows and other hosts and so on, because I was a host. And I said, no, this is for you guys to use too. Do it, and they have it. Whenever it goes down, I hear about it. I tell you that. So this is add the favorites. Let me put this in there. Add to favorites. Boom. There, it's in my favorites. So go get some more drill down on that. 2022 GMC Hummer EV. The Hummer is coming out. GMC's putting out a Hummer, and it's going to be, an electric Hummer and a couple, they say. And then they have a commercial with a prototype. The whole top pops off, it's got kind of a T structure in there. You get like each passenger, four positions have a T-top that kind of pops out. That's kind of cool. 1,000 horsepower, 350 miles of range. That's $112,000. Hell, I think Hummer's about, getting up there anyway. Gas is cheap and the Hummer is back, only this time it's electric. I think we're going electric. I think we're going electric. That's what I think. I think so. All right. We got some other goodies here when we come back.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And the next thing I got to add is the music. Yep, got to do, yep. Running out of space, though. But the Stream Deck has where I can just program buttons to do it and everything. Tempachote can help me with that. Yeah, it's not going on right now. I probably need to restart something. But it's working good now. Resets the sounds good and balanced out on everything. So I'm just like, don't touch any more buttons. And then Frank's going to come in on the Zoom. We get to test that and so on. So we're almost there. And then we got to make it all pretty and everything and doing the green screen. And then I might have to start wearing a tie again and being all professional. Ugh. But, what for you, because I love you. And a lot of great shows. I mean, we're getting, a lot of stuff done. And people in, and we need to spend more time on producing for that. Donna is, helping with a bunch of others. She's taking care of the sites and doing, but I really like, managing the site and, selecting a lot of the stories and doing a lot of the stuff because, it's cool stuff that I like to share with, because cool. There's a lot of the features and software thing. It's going to be a while. We did a lot of the framework for Freedom's Phoenix as its own social media thing because it has a bunch of the tools, all these. I mean, it's ready, laid out on a napkin. It shows the structure there, but, the coding to make it actually, we need to hire some more guys. So that's what, Derek's working on now. But to even interview or hire, tell him how to explain what them to do is freaking faster. He just do it. But he has some staff from some other stuff that we might be getting it going. So we're working on it. TIG welding. All right. This is top tech news. TIG welding with tool steel filler. Now, this, I happen to watch. It's from This Old Tony. If you ever seen his videos, he, he does like machine shop stuff and, just kind of cool techie, whatever the heck. But you only see his hands. And he has a kind of a pleasant voice and he's kind of funny and makes little jokes and stuff, and it's fun. Donna likes it. She says, we're in bed and we don't want to watch a big movie or something, just a couple of, videos and we'll go to bed. And she goes, what's This Old Tony doing? Let's go check out on This Old Tony. So we go there, and what he does, he took some what they call mild steel. A lot of the steel that you see on, you go to the metal shop and they give you these 1x or 2x, probably, 5 millimeters or whatever it is. And it's just long strips of this, 10 feet long. And, Jay and Derek got this steel hanging around all over the place. You go to throw away an old bed frame or an old furniture. You know how much steel costs of that stuff in there? I got to, I build stuff. And they do. You got all this stuff. Well, there's some steel out there. Well, we built a bunch of racks, out of this steel for putting up PVC piping and, and EMT conduit and all this stuff up on the walls at Derek's. And he built a laser template to plop it into and get it all perfectly aligned. Well, that man, cool. But that steel is, fairly soft. If you take a chisel or you hit it with a hammer, you might dent it or something like that. And it's very flexible, you know, and it'll kind of spring back. But if you bend it too far, it'll you know, deform it. And kind of, you know, it's not the hardest steel. And steel goes in gradations of hardness. Well, what you really need to do, like when we do the stamping of the EMT conduit to make in the domes, that die has to be made out of what they call tool steel. Tool steel is like the hardest hard of the hard of, you know, might as well be clear diamond kind of, oh my God, steel, okay? Now, what this guy did, old Tony came up with, is they have a tool steel welding rods. It's just, you know, and I think it's a combination, but when you heat it, it turns into this steel, whatever. So you take a TIG welder, which is that plasma kind of a electrical arc that you do, and then you feed it in with the other hand. It's kind of like gas welding, but in a very, you know, you don't have to heat the whole freaking trailer, you know, make this thing work. It has a really hot plasma. It's kind of localized. And I have a welder. We bought one. I got for myself a whole welding kit with all the goodies and everything and left it at my son-in-law's because he's rebuilding his grandfather's 1964 or 5. I think it's a 64 Mustang. And it just kind of got passed down to him. And he's like, yeah, you damn Skippy is mine. So he'd been stripping it down, him and his sons. You know, they're like 5, 6 years old, and they're, ooh, get the help and the dad. Well, there's a lot of welding that needed to be done on that. I said, I tell you what, I'm getting this. You know, I'll just order everything I need and have it waiting on me when we get back, and you can use it while you're working on it. Like, okay, cool. So I got it sitting there ready to go do some TIG. Ooh, going to get to play. And I'm probably going to do it when we go back to Arizona in a month or so, and we'll... You know, I'm going to play with this because this tool steel filling rod, you know, it's just like, I don't know, what is it, probably 2-3 millimeters thick and about, you know, 15 inches long or something. And you feed it into this arc. It's so hard that he was taking this soft steel and putting it on the end and edge, then grinding it down. And he did it on an axe. He goes, excuse me, I got an axe to grind. So he goes, it's kind of stuff. So he took this, like, inch-watt soft steel, put that hard steel on the end, ground it down, and then cut the other steel with it with a hammer, like a chisel, and just went through it like butter. I went, holy crap, what do you do with that? Well, the first thing I do is I send it in a telegram to Derek and Jay. I go, oh, hell yeah. You know, and when we get back, Bob and I are going to be playing with this, I guarantee. So he goes, Jay goes, well, yeah, I do that with my lawnmower blades, dummy. So I'm going, wow, you got tool steel edged lawnmower blade? Holy crap. You know, so I don't know what the safety is of it or how, but it was amazing. He's banging on with this chisel, and it held the edge. It didn't even deform it or not. I'm going, that is cool as heck. I could use that for so many things. So I'm going to, you know, and I forged a knife at Man Camp last year at Pork Fest. I'm going, not this year, but the year before. I still have that blade. You know, it's drilled and ready to take a handle and all that kind of stuff, but it's going to be, you know, a soft edge or something. Not anymore. I'll just weld this on the edge, grind that second. I'm going to have me a razor knife. Ooh. Well, that's interesting. Argona's developing nuclear reactors for e-truck supercharging. The largest cross-country 18-wheel trucks will need 5 to 10 times more electricity than an electric car to recharge its battery. And these trucks often need to recharge far from high-power transmission lines. So what they're doing is they're making small nuclear reactors, you know, to have charging stations. Well, hell, just put the nuclear reactor in the freaking truck engine bay. I mean, you know, what we, you know, they do it on submarines. So this is a new wave. And as we go through a lot of the stories, they'll come across a lot of nuclear reactors that are making, they're making them compact. Now, if they go to thorium reactors, they're a lot safer, and they just bury them. And if something happens to them, they just shut themselves off. They don't get this China syndrome, melt the core to the center of the planet kind of crap. You know, that's not how it works. But this is electricity. I mean, our life, you get on a RV, a bus, and try and live, you know, without having a bunch of solar panels and backup batteries and diesel and everything. Yeah, you'll see what I mean. You know, Luke is. He's like, what the hell, man? He unplugs from here. He's going to have to get serious about it. So this is having your own nuclear reactor for yourself. I mean, you can do a neighborhood or a small town or something, but I'm like, you know, mine? What might I do? I don't know, but I can do a lot of things.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No stinking roads. I like doing that. You know, where I learned that was sophomore year in high school, taking Spanish. You got to roll your R's all the time. I mean, like, ugh. So you had to practice it. Yep, I can do it. Speaky Spanish. Tandem solar cells could boost energy conversion by 50% in 2021. You know, see, I hate when Bob says, he goes, yeah, is it now? Is it at Walmart? Can I get it on Amazon? Can I go buy it? Well, it don't exist. But, you know, this stuff does happen. And now, it's, you know, we're getting a lot of the things that I was going on about Top Tech News years ago. And it's here. Well, this is one of those things that's going to be here. And what they've done is, you know, under pressure, they do the superconducted thing with the, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's 50% more. What that means is you get twice the power out of the solar panel area you have on your house now, or you use half the space. So when you have things that need to be light, like spacecraft and so on like that, well, I mean, you only have a limited amount of space that you can, you know, do stuff, so, or how much weight you want to take, or what, and then they get lighter and stuff. You know, it's one of the things, if you're familiar with the Mylar silver windshield insulating reflective whatever things you put in your car windshield in hot summer days and so on, which is like year-round in Arizona, but you use these thin things. It reminded me as I was folding it up and taking it out here, I'm going, I remember when I was at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas years ago, God, that's probably like 4 years ago, they had it looked just like that. And I think it was made by Panasonic. But what they did is it looked the same, except here they use this bubble wrap and they put, you know, silver Mylar on both sides, or some of them have a design or advertisement or, you know, buy this, whatever the hell. And it was thin like that. It was probably, I don't know, 4 millimeters thick or something like that. And it was a vacuum seal. What they had put was fiberglass in there. It had like a fiberglass mat or mesh or something to give it some space. And then they vacuumed all the air out. So it was a vacuum with the kind of the space taken up by some fiberglass, you know, matrix that they had in there. And they used it to demonstrate how energy efficient it was for insulation for things like ice chests. And they're going, they put ice in, it said the ice in there, and they have a little clear thing that you could see in there, a camera or whatever, look at the ice. And then they had, you know, examples with light bulbs and doing on each side. And I'm going, wow. So what would you use that for? You know, you code an RV. Like Colin up here has got another big bus that he's doing that he's refurbished. I went in there last night to look at it. He's got a big jacuzzi hot tub. He's building the whole bus about it around a jacuzzi hot tub. He's like, no, getting a jacuzzi hot tub. None of this cramp. It's going to be a big bath. The whole back is like a bathroom. He's like, man, nope, got a bathroom. It's going to be cool. So he's like, all right, that's his thing. So he does that. Well, you know, how do you insulate around the tub? You know, you put this stuff around and you just kind of contact cement it up or press it up against there, or, you know, foam it in or whatever the hell you do. Or you got the ceiling out and you got the insulation out. You just put these sheets of this stuff in there and you are well insulated. Because this bus is not that well insulated. I mean, it's got a lot of windows and everything. So you're using a lot of energy to keep it hot when it be cold. But it's got, you know, a propane thing and the electric if you're plugged in. You got, you know, the Dyson heater. That thing is awesome. It works really well. It's like $400, but it works really well. But it sucks some battery. You can't use that thing. I mean, you can, but it just sucks the battery as bad as the water heater. So these kinds of techs are the things that I look at, why I would go to the Consumer Electronics Show for years. But it got boring. You know, it was all for, you know, global warming or something. I mean, I remember I grew up in, you know, in elementary school in the early 70s. I was born in 61. So from like, you know, 68 to 75 or so, I'm in elementary school. So what is that? You know, like, you know, 7 years or something. But you're in there, and it was all about global cooling. The ice age was coming. And it was. It was getting, you know, one of the cycles of the sun. It was starting to get cold, and we're all going to die. We're going to freeze to death. Well, the biggest problem is crop failures. You know, this is what why the Renaissance was, you know, such a prosperous and innovative time in human history, is because it was a solar maximum or solar whatever is warmer, and they had lots of food. Well, they're going, oh no, lots of food is bad. You know, global warming. You know, the tides of the, you know what, man, it's global warming. I bring it on, and I live in Arizona, so I'm going. You know, but you know, as it changes, you know, it might be a tropical rainforest. You know, in a couple of years, but it's getting cold. And we knew this back in like 05, yeah, 05, 06. It was, I remember it was for the Levolution, and it was a Harvard astrophysicist. Now, Tim Ball, you know, from Canada, you know, won a lawsuit against them, you know, saying he was bad because he was calling them all a bunch of hoax, you know, the global warming thing, you know, COVID, same thing. And he knew the woman. I had interviewed him, and he said, we tried to get him on here recently. His health is not doing well, so that's too bad. But the he's been fighting a fight, and he finally won millions of, you know, because he kept going after him, and, you know, show me your data. You're a lying sack of snot. Yeah, show me your data. And he wouldn't do it to the court. They wouldn't show it because he didn't have it. He just made it up. So they go, eh, and he wins. So then this woman, he knew who it was. I can't remember her name. Was a Harvard astrophysicist that they drummed out, because she goes, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. It is not getting hotter, and it's going to get a lot cooler, because the sun is going to, it went a long time without any sunspots, which is a sign of activity and solar radiation, yada, yada, yada. I go, you know, and that's why we had that. Who's that guy that we had on that has the weather, that has the leather weather climate? Robert Lee. No. What's his name? Robert. Yeah, Robert Lee. And he has all these sites that he gets the telemetry from the satellites, because we paid to put them up there. And I'm going, okay, well, you turn one to the sun, you go, all right, are you hotter? Are you more? Is there more radiation? Less, more? Show me the graph. You know, you could do it. You paid for it. Go look. Guess what's happening? It's going down. So what's going to happen? It's going to get cold. You ain't worried about a food thing, COVID-19, of they, them, those being what? They want to starve you, man. That's the only way they're going to kill you, you know, or get you to take a mandatory vaccine. So this is, I'm, you know, but we're humans, man. You know, we cope. We had freaking ice age, had glaciers down in North America, you know, and we rocked it. So I'm not that worried. Just not that worried. You know, if you're prepared and ready, and you get this monkey off your back, government, or this government fly that won't leave me alone. Let's see. High temperature superconductor cable will speed up development of nuclear fusion. What? Commonwealth Fusion Systems' new high temperature superconductor cable can be engineered into magnets directly applicable to the high magnetic field approach to fusion. The new HTS high temperature superconductor cable, called Viper, can carry over 50,000 amps of current. Whoa. 50,000 amps? You have high voltage lines, but not amps. Amp, that's damn. Okay. All right. So superconductors, they need a heavy magnetic field to contain the fusion, which it may not be the way that they're going to be doing fusion. There's other methods of whatever. But the point is that there's another story in here. I'm sure I remember putting it up, that they're getting down. I think it was down, you know, or up to 15 degrees Celsius, which is like, I don't know, you know, not freezing, above freezing. So superconductors. And this is the holy grail of a whole bunch of stuff. When you get superconductors, they don't get, the lines don't get hot. I am in here with all the computers and stuff going on in here. We're, you know, in the cold. I mean, it's a pretty nice day today. But we heat this place with freaking computers. It's just, you know, it's amazing. Like in the summer when it's hot, it's like, damn, an open vent, because all the computers. That's where a lot of our energy goes, is all the computer stuff. Why? Because they're not superconducting. They create heat. What happens when you do away with that heat? What happens when you take that heat and you can direct it into heat somewhere else, or where you want it, or energy? You know, this is superconductors. And this fusion thing, whatever. I was interested in the superconductor, you know, the high-temperature superconductor. I'm going, okay, little things like this change everything. at a fundamental base level. And a whole bunch of this coming in the next segment.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Hello, 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 hello. Yeah, I'm reading forward on some of this stuff. Man, there's some cool stuff coming. But there's bad stuff, too. I'll give you this. U.S. government awards contracts to seven organizations with ties to Gates Foundation. Okay, now what are they awarding? The National Institute of Health has awarded contracts to seven organizations working on digital health solutions for COVID-19 or global warming or whatever the we get to rule you excuses, involving smartphones and wearable biosensors. So who are these companies? Well, it's they, them, those, and goes on about it, and I don't care. The point is that you're going to be able, your Fitwatch or this, or you swallow a pill, and you know they can even have cameras go through your intestines with a light and crap it out, and you can download in your smartphone, and hell, just let it crap out. What do you already download it, by placing your smartphone on your belly for 30 seconds or something. You're going to be able to do self-diagnostics. So when you have data from Star Trek Next Generation, he goes, I got to do a level 3 diagnostic on myself. I'm good. I got this problem, or I need my processor, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're going to be able to do that, have our own tricorders. This is a $5 million X Prize that they did for a tricorder. Somebody won. I remember we published it up here years ago, that what they were looking for is medical devices they could do scanning and so on, like a tricorder, Leonard McCoy or Dr. Crusher or whoever, go through and check you, and you have all your vitals and different things, and it doesn't weigh that much because it's going to space. So, how many MRI machines are going to be shipping to Mars? Well, it better be held in the hand. I don't know how they're going to do it. But that Starship can take 100 tons, one, and he's sending 1,000. What is that, 1 million tons of car? Wow. The future be interesting. Man, I'm telling you, there's going to be some cool stuff. And some other bad stuff. UK paves way for smart meters to directly control your home appliances. Now, one of the things is having a smart home is not the greatest idea. I mean, if it worked, it would. Give me a Jarvis knows what the hell it's doing. But you're spending more time fixing the thing that's supposed to tell you what's wrong with your house. And I have friends that had a total smart, because they could afford it. Put it in a smart home. They had an entire closet, like a walk-in closet. It was all the servers and connections and wires to everything, to make it where it can be controlled from these panels that were all over the house. But I don't remember a time that the whole thing ever worked. And it was a pain in the ass to do anything. So when they built a different home, more rural area they had, they got, it's a light switch. I think it will decline. So they just did that. But now being able to do it, it's going to get better. It's just like with the drones. I remember guys working on, Derek has a bunch of old drones in here. Because it's cool. Man, he could do them, fold it out, but the stabilization of it was a pain in the butt. Well, now they've got, so years later you get a Mavic drone, and man, it kicks ass. That thing is stable as hell. Easy, cheesy, Japanese-y. I don't think it's Japan, though. Well, maybe. So Mavic, and all these drones got it going. Well, smart houses would be the same way. It's going to tell you, Bob's big, ring guy. Might as well just, plug the matrix in the back of his head. But it's convenient for what he needs. He has a rental home, that he's got his family home in Tingsboro, Massachusetts, that he can watch from his home in Arizona, and vice versa. He's watching his home in Arizona. He sees what's up, got some controls, got some gauges, got some, and seeing who's coming and going, and because he can. It's his brother. He can do what he wants. So, all right. But it would be nice to have that where it's private, and it's not, Derek has done that with Raspberry Pis. So he has cameras at his workshop and his home that he can watch from either place, and he's got everything, and it goes through a VPN if the man don't know. That's the way I go. Well, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody mass producing, which you already do some of the components. You just, because you're a geek, you can do it. So when I build my home or I get back there, what am I going to do? I'm going to be an actuate and make it go whir, feed the chickens, water the whatever the hell, and I automatic. And if I even got to look at it, I did it wrong. So you can do this, but what's happening with the government gets involved. United Kingdom, they're able you know, the technocracy in England, upgrading their smart meters to allow direct shut-off access to all appliances in consumers' homes. America is largely equipped to do this as well, and here it comes. California, they're already doing it. Oh, we need to have control over your thermostat. We don't have the energy, the power. We just shut it off, brown out if you're not allowed. So what do you do? You decentralize. You do it your damn self. Get your own power and so on, which is, you know, happening. Now, you know, you got Elon Musk going, you know, global warming, global warming, global warming, buy my batteries. You know, how much does he think global warming's a threat or whatever? But, you know, good for business. I mean, you know, okay, let's do it. China is coming up with it's called Autoflight, and it has like a Conard on the front and the kind of rear wing and so on. And it's a long-range, vertical takeoff and landing electric plane. Yep. Chinese heavy drone company Autoflight unveiled a big new Conard-style electric VTOL cargo drone and announced its intention to develop a similar aircraft for urban air taxi operations. This is one thing, one of the big auto markets is delivery vans, you know, like these Amazon vans. You'll have, you know, pickup trucks are big, certainly in America. You have, you know, the sedan, you got the this, you got the that, and all these different models, and semi-trucks and so on. But what they really need, you know, for worldwide use is like little three-wheel urban area kind of electric delivery things if I'm in Bangalore, whatever the hell, you know. Or, you know, little cargo vans that you can use and then be electric, and that would work well for them because they're, you know, I don't know how many hundred miles they're doing in the city and stuff. And they're electric. And they're clean. And, you know, but then you get Trump up there. Oh, good, clean coal. We're going to do some coal. Pennsylvania. Coal. Woo-hoo. We're going to do some coal. Well, coal, you can make it to where, you know, it's not so bad. You know, that semi-clean. It's not like in freaking China. You know, whatever regulation. You don't want to, you know, allow, you know, pollute and make your neighbors sick or something, which is, of course, down the road they try to go down and control it. But coal is freaking plentiful. America is not going to be short of energy as long as there's availability of coal. Coal is, it's cheap and there's a crap load of it. And it's just, it's about heating. I'm surprised coal isn't used more for home heating. You know, chopping down logs and everything. I mean, you'd be making 2x4s out of that. Especially when they're $7, $8 a 2x4 now from under $2. I'm going, man, that's where's the coal? Let's do that. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at on that. All right. Then they have a U.S. government awards contract to 7 organizations tied to. Oh, yeah, we already did that one. All right. Progress to Vegas citywide loop tunnel system. Now, they've already done the one loop that they had on the strip there from, you know, here to there and the airport of whatever. And now they're, you know, that went fast. That was fairly cheap. Crap. This boring company thing. Well, how many more can you do? You can do the whole freaking city. You know, charge a toll, man. Pay for it yourself, whatever. And then the actual stations, you know, become malls. They'll become gathering areas. They'll be, yeah, with a mask. Hopefully not. But the Viva Las Vegas, baby, underground. Vegas, oh, I can see the advertisements already. Vegas underground. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Underground. Underground Vegas. I can feel it. There comes marketing. So they're working on that. That'll be done here pretty quick. Physicists build energy harvesting circuit from graphene. Now, you know, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is this. What they've done is at a small scale, small electronics, itty-bitty living space, what they're able to do is generate enough energy to run small devices. Well, that means it's going to eventually get to, you know, your phone, you know, but a lot of it's just sensors. You know, sensor this, camera that, blah, 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 little tiny mosquito drone of I'm going to go, you know, watch it, whatever the hell. You know, it's just from its existence. It is at a small level doing whatever with the field. I don't know. I'd have to, you know, read it more. I went over it and saw what they were doing. It's graphene layers. They're putting it, generates just by being there. It generates by its size or interaction with the world or something. It's generating small voltage. Well, if you only need small voltage, what happens? What happens when you put a gazillion of these or just sheets of this stuff, like a 4x8 sheet of plywood that generates, you know, 5 amps of power, you know, at, you know, 12 volts or something? I don't know. It's not a solar panel. It's an energy panel. This is the kind of stuff that's coming. You know, then what? They, them, those lose control over the individuals. That's what. That's the point. You know, I just, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Here they have low ambient light indoors can be harvested to charge electronics. I got a solar flashlight. It sits over there. You just put it on your dash or something. We got it back there under LED lights, and the thing's always charged. Just from ambient light in here. Yeah, I'm, future. It's so bright, gotta wear shades. Trump Report, Dr. Frank Denberg, we come back.